Hello, gang, again, and welcome to PWT Talks NXT. We had our go-home show this week. It is WrestleMania weekend. It is TakeOver Nollins weekend. And it's going to be a great show, despite the unfortunately timed injury to Bobby Fish. But that gave us some interesting questions to talk about this week, too. So normally this would be a week where we would have Tom in the rotation, but Tom Staup is out. It was his turn to be sick this time, gang. It was mine a couple of times ago. His turn this week. So let me go ahead and introduce my two homies here. Justin James, go ahead.
Hi, this is Justin James. I am PWT's NXT TV correspondent, and you can find me on Twitter at Justin_M_James.
And Harley R. Padgett.
Hello, that's my name. I cover Ring of Honor for the PW Torch, written reports about television. I will have a preview column up this Friday all about Supercard of Honor, and I'll be doing live coverage of Supercard head-to-head with TakeOver Saturday night.
All right. Well, this was an episode of NXT is War, I have to say. This was very much
NXT Impact.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I don't know if we're there yet, but yeah, this felt a lot like a main roster sort of show, especially a main roster go-home show. We had three matches. Only one had a finish. One had a definitive finish. One had a winner. We had our final visual that felt very reminiscent of many, many go-home shows on the main roster, but we'll get there. We're going to go ahead and we're going to start with the main event, Killian Dane versus Lars Sullivan, and all of those shenanigans that happened afterwards. Justin, go ahead and start us off with this one.
Yeah, the match itself I was really enjoying, and that's what made me upset here. You know, I was really enjoying this match, and NXT doesn't do these, you know, these multi-man matches that often. So the opportunities to do this kind of lame main roster, we all stare each other in the ring thing just doesn't happen in NXT that often. But just to see them go down this route, I was just embarrassed, especially after the other, you know, no non-finish of the night. This was just an embarrassing ending. It felt cliched. This isn't what I've come to expect from NXT. But the Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan match, I'd be happy to see these guys get a full 10, 12, 15 minutes at a takeover one day. It's something I rarely say about two men of their size who outside of NXT typically have, you know, not interesting styles, in my opinion. So I was actually hyped to see these guys wrestling. I thought it was a really solid match.
Yeah, I was okay with this one, too. And monster versus monster isn't my thing. I did say last week that I was kind of looking forward to this match, and it was okay. I think they both... I would think that wrestlers, when they know they're going to end up giving you a non-finish, would probably bring their best. I could see this being two schools of thought. One, don't waste a great match on a non-finish. But for me, I would think, gosh, bring something really good so when people are disappointed, they can say, well, God, at least it was awesome there for what we had, and we'll get more down the road. So yeah, it's unfortunate that this all led up to what it did. It's too bad that that we didn't even get... there was no announcement of what happened. Like, it just ended, right?
That was, like, so WWE main roster. Like, yeah, didn't even right. bother. And it was really in contrast to the opening match where they made a point of announcing not just there was a no contest, but a double disqualification.
Yeah. This was
and so it just stood out, and I was like, well, was it a double count out because Sullivan and Dane were the ring for a while?
Yeah, it was very Attitude Era where they were just like, it doesn't matter. I mean, you just throw something new at them so fast that they've forgotten what they just missed. And I remember one episode of Raw, the first time I ever decided to just write down the wins and losses because I thought it was fun. There were six matches and only one had a finish. And that was definitely right around 99, 98, something like that. Certainly Vince Russo era. And he was definitely of the mind that it didn't matter who won and lost. But he must have thought it mattered because he wanted to make sure that everybody was always protected and nobody ever lost. So, Harley, go ahead.
Yeah, like you guys said, the finish was odd because nobody touched anybody after the match. So it wasn't a no contest or a double disqualification like earlier in the night. It was just kind of, you know, at that point, at the point that the cameras went off air, Ricochet, Velveteen, Cole, EC3 could have just climbed out of the ropes and the match could have continued, theoretically. I don't know. When they announced this last week, and before the show started tonight, I thought there's no way we get a clean finish. This is going to end in some sort of double countout, double disqualification. All six guys show up. Everybody brawls.
Yep.
I was partly right. But when the opening contest ended up in a double DQ, I said, well, there's no way they're going to do it twice in one night. So something's – I don't know. I guess Lars is undefeated, so I guess he gets some sort of pin on Killian here, and then Killian gets his heat back in the ladder match.
Yeah, Killian seemed to me like somebody who could eat a pin here. I didn't think it was a big deal for Killian to lose this match, which I thought he would. But you're right. I thought the same thing. And then when there was a no contest that I maybe should have seen coming, I was very I was upset to see another. But go ahead.
No, I think that might be all I've got to say about this. Honestly, like, yeah, it was just a short little preview for the ladder match. Ladder match is going to be all these guys going crazy, plus ladders, tons of chaos. Yep. So if you want to see these two big men destroy each other, you know, you only have to wait like 3 days.
Right. Tom did give us the download on what happened live. After what we saw when we went off the air, which was very much a very main roster time to go off the air. What happened was a brawl did ensue. It got down to, I want to say, Ricochet and Dream. I don't remember. Tom wrote it to us a bit ago. And Ricochet tossed whoever was last, and he did his flip and pose again. That is what happened. So it did get physical, but we did not see that. So...
This is the first time Ricochet has appeared in front of the live crowd outside of house shows.
Right, and they didn't announce live. He was saying that they just piped in that audience noise because they didn't show that that bit that he did last week to be announced or the week before or whatever that was. So, yeah, I guess that can bring us right into the hype for the North American title. They did do a bit after... after the Strong Done match, they did end up doing a kind of a hype video for all six guys. And I would hazard to say that that felt a lot more NXT and got me a lot more excited for the match than any sterile, usual six people in the ring at once does. Like, I know what it's going to look like. I know it's going to be six guys in the ring. That doesn't help me. Like that part of the go home doesn't help me. But I love videos like this that really make you believe, God, any one of these six guys could walk out with the title. Is there any call outs from that video from either of you guys?
I'll say there's no call outs for me, but something that's been masterful about the incredibly brief setup for this match is the fact that I can't predict a winner. It's not just I can't predict a winner. I cannot predict any guaranteed they won't winners, right? Yeah. You know when Big Show or Kane is in a multi-person ladder match?
Yeah,
money you know
in the
they're
bank,
not winning.
Not right.
Yeah.
Although Kane's won one, but normally that's not true.
Yeah, like when Vince McMahon doesn't have 108-degree fever when he's doing the booking.
Yeah.
Kane or Big Show can't win a ladder match, Money in the Bank, TLC match, etc. It just doesn't happen. Right. They always go falling off off the turnbuckle into a table. And with this match, it's not just I can't predict a winner. I cannot predict any guaranteed will not win this match. There's a case to be made for every person in this match. You know, Adam Cole as North American champion would give him a lot of credibility. Lars Sullivan as North American champion, I buy Sullivan or Dane winning this match in an instant. Velveteen Dream needs something to be doing, and defending a championship would be a great thing for him. He's got the mouth to defend it. Having Ricochet or EC3 win this would put them on the map immediately. There's no reason for anybody in this match to not win. Yep. Love it.
I love it as well. We're going to do picks at the end, folks, so stick around for that. So we won't give them away yet, but Harley, go ahead.
All I was going to say, something I've harped on the show before, anytime wrestling goes outside of the arena and the standard backstage wall, I'm a huge fan. And so that's what really jumped out at me about this video. There's some shots of EC3 on like a rooftop patio and a balcony of this really expensive place. Jumped out immediately. And then the contrast of that to Cole kind of hanging out in the backstage area where Undisputed Era have been hanging out lately, I guess. And then we jump to Velveteen Dream sitting on a couch. And I think he was in a limo at one point. I just love all of that. It's instantly... it gives each person so much more personality and describes, you know, we get a sense of where these people live, where they hang out when they're right, not in NXT, when they're not in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, creates their own reality. I love great that point. As well. I absolutely love that. And it brings some verisimilitude to the show, too. Like, we actually have a lot of you feel like this show lives in, I don't know, a more realistic place where these people are worth cheering for or not. I don't know. They did that a lot better during the Attitude Era. They got away from it. I understand they didn't want to make it as much of a soap opera or whatever it felt like. But, yeah, I love the chance to ground these guys in reality sometimes and not, you know, not go too... I think there's a line, like you don't want to make everybody really real because then there are no heels, but you know what I mean. You guys know what I mean. You're on board.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen in other mediums, you watch any movie or television show, you can see the bad guy eating dinner. You can see him out at the store, and you can still hate this guy
right,
based on his personality or whatever. It's just this the difference between – you watch Raw so many times, and it feels like we're actors on set. And then we leave once we're out of camera range. We go back to our real selves.
Yep.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn, go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right. Well, from there, I guess the only other thing I had to say about that is that it had to play to that Kane Hill song that's so bad. But whatever. The official song, not a fan, this guy. But whatever. You know, kids, they like the new metal, apparently. So
you know, it's funny you said it because my 10-year-old said, who are these guys? I like this. What's this song about, Daddy?
That's about the age that I can dig liking this.
So you're saying my kid's a schmuck?
No, I'm saying your kid's 10. I'm saying your kid's 10, and that's cool.
He's saying Triple H has the musical taste of a 10-year-old.
Actually, you know what? I hate to say this, but there's actually quite a few albums and bands I've gone into because I'd never heard of them before, and they were featured on a takeover as the band. Like Power Trip, I'm a huge fan of them now. When they did Executioner's Tax a couple takeovers ago, like my kid loves them. I'm learning to play the song that they did at takeover. I'm going to play it on the guitar. Like, huge fan of them now because of NXT.
The only takeover song that I loved was Shock Me from Baroness, but I already was a huge Baroness fan. And yeah, that's from an album that came out a couple of years ago. And that.
Yeah, when they did that, I was like, this album's like years old.
Yeah, it was about a year old already when they did it, but it was for one of the Asuka Ember feuds, and it was just, it was awesome. They used it really, really well. They used the music well, like, regardless of whether I liked the song or not, they used the music well. I just, this one wasn't for me, gang. All right, we're going to go to Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne versus the Authors of Pain in the finals of a tournament. Now, you're not supposed to get buys in the finals of the tournament. And, you know, it makes sense that these guys would have this kind of non-finish, given that we all thought, like, who's not going to be booked for TakeOver? Like, it all makes sense there. But the reason I didn't predict it is because NXT didn't seem like the type of place where they would give you a tournament and then have a match, and nobody wins that final match. Now, they did kind of do a slimy kind of backstep from that and say, hey, whoever wins this match is also the winner of the Dusty Classic, which is a little grody since, like, it could be won, it could be won by a team that wasn't in the tournament. But, yeah.
I know it's WrestleMania weekend, but do we have to get everybody on the card? Because that's what it seems like for this takeover.
That's definitely what it feels like. And Harley, go ahead and take this match.
Yeah, this was such a good match until the finish. Like, I was really into it. I'm thinking, Authors of Pain, obviously going to lose. They're not going to win the tournament twice in a row. They don't need to. We've been saying for months they're going to get called up to Raw. Raw needs more tag teams anyway. Perfect scenario all around. Pete and Roddy look strong. They go on. They face Undisputed Era. Roddy and Undisputed Era have been feuding pretty much since the day that Undisputed have arrived in NXT. That all makes perfect sense. This is exactly where it's going. And then we get this cheap double disqualification, no contest finish. And in that moment, I thought, okay, well, all right, I see it. Fish is injured. He can't defend the titles. So we'll just do this match in a rematch on Saturday with Undisputed Era banned from ringside. Even that I would have been fine with, and that would have made sense. But yeah, the whole Adam Cole can... So Adam Cole not only is wrestling twice now on Saturday, presumably, he's also defending a tag title that he never won, and he and Kyle O'Reilly could win a tag tournament that they weren't even in. It's just... I don't know. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me, and NXT always makes a lot of sense to me, which is why I guess it's ruffling my feathers worse than usual. And up until then, like, the whole opening to tonight's show, I loved that we went straight to Charlie Caruso in the control room before we got any theme song. They tried to make it seem like a big deal. We saw Michael Hayes and Terry Taylor and Dustin Runnels arriving in the building being like, look at all these Hall of Famers who are coming to watch this match. So I loved everything up until this weird booking of this match. And I don't know. That just left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, it was a really, really good match. And as it got deeper and deeper and I started saying nobody can lose this match, it occurred to me that something could happen. It just didn't seem like a very NXT thing. But as NXT becomes a bigger and bigger brand and more a part of their actual drawing of ratings, drawing of crowds. I guess I wasn't surprised to see it go that way. I loved the match, too. The false finishes worked. And I can't say that it didn't work as far as pushing this this three-way match. I was disappointed, too, that this one didn't finish. Justin, anything else?
The only thing I'll say is maybe it's just that I've been scarred by the main roster so much, but I saw the non-finish coming.
Okay.
The tip-off was the placement of the match on the card.
Yeah, you know, that's a pretty good point that I was
thinking
about.
I looked at this, when NXT opened with this match, the first thing I banged out on my keyboard typing up my report was saying, with this match being placed first, we're either going to see one long match, right, where they can say, well, that match went so long, we're going to bump all the other matches we advertised for the night and just go to the other, something else, right? Or it's going to have a screwy finish. There was just no way you stick that match at the beginning of any show unless there's bad booking involved, yeah. or you get an hour long match. There's just no way. And I hated that because this was a good match. I wanted to see this match. You guys mentioned saying, well, maybe it's going to go to TakeOver. You know, maybe they'll do a replay at TakeOver, and that's how they covered the Bobby Fish injury to give him another few weeks or another month or two or whatever. And that would have been perfectly fine with me because, and again, we're going to come back to, you know, NXT has kind of reimagined big man wrestling in my mind, but I'm perfectly happy to see Authors of Pain in a 15-minute match. And I'd be perfectly happy to see Authors of Pain in a 15-minute match against Strong and Dunn, who, if I understand the taping schedule right, wrestled 3 10-minute matches in one night.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Which is brutal. And you look at this, at the end of that taping, Roderick Strong's landing Olympic slams on a 300-pound Rezar.
Right.
I mean, if I had that guy's endurance, I'd be putting it to better uses than being a wrestler.
right.
And just this was just a really solid match. I enjoyed it, and I was so, even seeing the non-finish coming, I was disappointed, angry, and upset. That said, I liked that it led to the triple threat. I agree with you guys. The idea that Fish and O'Reilly could win, or Undisputed Era could officially win the Dusty Rhodes Classic is infuriating. But if that happens, maybe it'll just help put more heat on them and people will be angry at them. But that's kind of cheap heat.
Right.
Upright. We won a tournament we didn't even enter. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. We'll get there.
And, okay. And they're sort of being rewarded in that sense, right?
Right.
They interfered in this match, and so now they have the chance to win the trophy?
Yeah, I think that backfired on Regal.
Yeah, oh boy. All right, so we got an email from Chris Fielder. We got 4 emails this week, 3 during the show. We always get some late ones right during the show. Chris Fielder sent us this. Hey, guys, I love your show and always listen. What do you think NXT will do with Adam Cole come Saturday at TakeOver? I think Undisputed Era should retain the tag titles, but I also think the new North American Championship is tailor-made for Adam Cole. Thanks. I'll tell you what, this is great. We're all thinking this, and we will get there at the end of the show with our predictions. I just wanted to put this question here because I'm sure he wrote this while we were all thinking it. Harley, did you have a thought right away?
Well, I'll just say William Regal gave him 3 options, right?
Right.
He can, Kyle can defend in a handicap match. Cole can pull himself from the North American title match, or he can do double duty. Or actually, what was Regal's closing line? Something like, "You're smart guys, you'll figure something out."
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There you go. So that you want something to linger on. That's something to mull over, and I'll tell you what I think they're going to be thinking about later on in the show.
Yep, me too. That's your little teaser. I'm going to go – I've got a real bold prediction on this whole Adam Cole business. Because we talk about Adam Cole at length every week. That's what we do here, gang.
It's revealed that he's secretly Michael Cole's nephew, and he's been getting preferential treatment.
Oh, boy.
It's revealed that he is secretly my nephew.
He's also Vince's guy.
And that after I have to heal on him because I'm so tired of him after you know, 32 Christmases together.
All right. Oh, boy. Okay. I did get a late email that I'm going to do right now just because I got it, and I'm going to drop it on you guys right now because we didn't talk about this one before the show. No. This is from Chad Landers. Hey guys, hope you're all excited for WrestleMania weekend. Hopefully some of you will get to attend. I literally just saw the news about the WrestleMania Access tournaments that are going on this week. How cool is that news? Now, I didn't know about this news, but he continues. A tournament for the United Kingdom number one challenger, the NXT North American number one challenger, the NXT Tag Team number one challenger, and the NXT Women's number one challenger. I think this is a very interesting way of keeping the deep roster connected during WrestleMania season. What are your thoughts, and who could possibly win all four brackets? I know that's a lot to cover, but it's pretty freaking exciting. Smiling emoji. Thanks again for your new podcast, Chad from Pennsylvania. Without seeing any brackets, I don't know who could win all these. And, of course, these tournaments, assuming they're access tournaments, because I've seen an NXT tournament live. I don't think I've ever actually talked about this on the show, but I saw the NXT tournament before Royal Rumble 2013. I hadn't actually seen NXT yet. I just knew these guys as names on the page. And so I saw a single elimination 8-man tournament won by Bo Dallas to get into the next night's Royal Rumble. And I want to say Bo beat Harper in the finals of that, who was going by the name Kruger. Leo Kruger, is that him? I think
no, Leo Kruger is Adam Rose.
Oh, yeah, right, Kruger right. Was Adam Rose.
Okay, what was Harper's name? Did he go just as Harper?
He was always Harper.
Always Harper.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he beat Leo Kruger.
I'm right about the name, but I was wrong about who that was.
They both have facial hair and long black hair.
Okay, yeah, I want to say it was Leo Kruger.
They wear pants to the ring.
They sure do. That's a good thing.
As opposed to like trunks.
Okay, I guess. So
they're not Midian. They don't wrestle in the nude.
Oh boy. Oh, I just passed that segment in my list of. I'm watching all the pay-per-views in order, and I just got past Naked Midian, and it's done. He's gone, and that's a good thing. But anyway, yes, this is obviously a lot to cover. I don't know that we'll take that we'll cover all the tournaments, but man, there's a lot of names, and it's my answers would be different to this question depending on when these title matches are going to take place. Because if they're just going to take place on...
Yeah, they're all taking place at Access.
Oh, at Access, the title matches?
Yeah, the entire tournaments. They start Thursday, they finish Saturday.
I know the tournaments do, but then do the payoff title matches happen?
They can't because they don't have a North American champion yet. So,
I'm looking at the brackets right now, and whoever wins the North American tournament... Their match, the finals of that tournament, for instance, takes place Saturday at 10 p.m. or 9 p.m., and then they face the winner in the winner's very first title defense Sunday at 11 in the morning.
So, I mean, the way I would do it, you know, if I were booking this thing, is I would have the finals of the tournaments be the dark matches for TakeOver that then get played the week after TakeOver on NXT TV. That's the way I'd do it if I were booking this thing.
Wow, whoever wins the North American title is going to have a hell of a schedule.
Yeah, they got their first title defense 12 hours later.
Right, at 11 in the morning just after they get done.
A ladder match.
Yeah.
Six-man ladder match with Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan in it.
Oh, man.
Good luck, friends.
Yeah, so Adam Cole could potentially wrestle four matches in the span of 24 hours.
Right. Oh, man. Whew, we'll talk later about why I think that won't happen, but we'll get there.
Do you love wrestling? Are you in or around New Orleans during WrestleMania weekend? Then come check out Ring Rust Radio Live from the Hilton Garden Inn New Orleans Convention Center on Saturday, April 7th from 2 to 4 p.m. local time. Tickets are only $10 and available on PayPal via ringrustradio@gmail.com or on patreon.com/ringrustradio. Don't miss the boys of Ring Rust Radio.
Okay, so we had a few other things. Kairi Sane versus Vanessa Bourne. Definitely a foregone conclusion, but I would have to say not too bad a match. I thought it was okay. Vanessa Bourne kind of coming along to the point where they trust her with a few more minutes of work. Kairi, I think this probably existed more to set up the match with Lacey next week. Lacey did her promo, which was, I don't know, lost her place a couple times, but at least there's a character here. So on Sane versus Bourne and the upcoming Sane versus Lacey, Justin, what do you think?
You know, I thought that Vanessa Bourne got in a little bit too much offense here, but I think she made good use of her minutes. There was this one thing she did with Sane where Bourne just looked really strong. She did like a body slam or something. She just kind of like picked Sane up easily. And Sane had a couple moves where I haven't gotten to see the Mae Young Classic, but Sane had a couple moves here where I was just really impressed with the way she did it. Like that jackknife cover sequence. It was very cool and very unique and a lot of fun. So I enjoyed the match itself. I think the Lacey Evans thing, yeah, she's stunned. She was a bad actress, but the character she portrayed is unique. And it was that carried through well to the point where I ignored the fact that she stumbled with her delivery. And I like the character that she's portraying. They fleshed it out a bit more. In range, she's not awful. So I'm looking forward to whatever direction they take her in. And that gives me a chance to see her continue to develop and grow.
She is one of the greatest beneficiaries of the NXT, the whole NXT backdrop. This is the kind of person who, if she had had to learn on the job, if she had been hired at this level of, at the level of quality she was 3, 5, 6 months ago, and then was on the main roster, she might already be gone by now because there was just nothing there. But she's been given a lot of chances here to learn and grow. And it's difficult sometimes to watch that on NXT TV, and they try to keep some of that off TV, but it's been heartening to watch that development happen. Harley.
Yeah, she's having the same, if you go back and watch, most of the NXT women, even the most successful ones, have sort of gone through this. Alexa Bliss debuted as a sparkly cheerleader who blew glitter from her hands. Right. Becky Lynch was an Irish dancer. Like, a lot of the women start off in very awkward roles before they kind of settle into figuring out who they want them to be. And I don't mind this character, the idea that she's kind of the old-fashioned 50s housewife who looks down on anybody who's, you know, not the subservient wife and mother who spends all her days in the kitchen. That kind of seems to be her thing. Like, she judges all the other women.
Right.
The one thing I think maybe most interesting is she's one of the few exceptions in all of wrestling where within each of her promos, she calls out multiple people. That seems to be kind of a rarity. Usually somebody gets the mic and, you know, like she started with Nikki Cross this week. And so I thought, okay, she's setting up a feud with her and Nikki. But then with some prompting from the interviewers, she also took some digs at Dakota Kai. She also turned her attention to Kairi Sane, which is nice. I like when... It's just all part of like making it feel more realistic to me, making wrestling seem more, less fake, more, I can buy into it more. Obviously, if somebody's got this big of an ego and thinks that they're this much better than everybody else, she's not going to just be picking a fight with one person. She's going to be mouthing off about everybody.
Right.
And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Harley, because I've noted that I enjoy her promos, the content of them. I've noted that I like that she just calls out everybody, regardless of whether or not they're a face or a heel, which should be realistic, right? Like you know, Chris Jericho should never team up with Kevin Owens. But you're right. You know, what I didn't realize, and you point out, is just how organic it felt, but it's just so rare in professional wrestling. Because it just felt so organic, I just missed that context, but you're 100% right.
And there's always little set, like she called out four or five women here. She didn't say anything about Shayna Baszler.
In fact, every time they've interacted, like, because we've seen where she's been, you know, on a ramp mouthing off about people, and Baszler came out, and Evans shut her mouth and hit the bricks. Yeah. She knows, like this is part of her character where she's got a big mouth, but she is visibly afraid of Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, which does wonders for both the Lacey character and the Baszler character. It's a nice touch.
Yeah, so Shayna's intimidating, and Lacey's smart enough to know not to poke that bear.
Yep, absolutely. It's things are moving in the right direction, and hopefully she can really, really back that up with some great in-ring work, and she'll be in the mix. It's nice that after a while of a 1-2 woman show, we seem to have a legitimate division happening. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing, because there is more than enough talent to go around on this WWE roster. All right, we had some DIY hype, and we had the NXT title hype. Fairly light on both, I suppose, and then a little bit of Ember Shayna. We did a lot of all this last week. The way that they've done the DIY hype, I almost would have said that was going to be the last match on the show, but today they made it seem like the North American title would be the last thing on the show. And when we get to our predictions, I definitely want to include what do you think will go on last, which is always one of the really great questions about WrestleMania. You used to always know what it was going to be, but it's not as obvious anymore. On the hype for these other three matches, Harley, anything in particular stand out to you?
No, just another little reminder of how amazing WWE's production team are. Like, yeah. there's some new footage here mixed in as well, so I took note of that. Some of the comments with Zelina, some of the bits with Johnny in particular stood out to me. I was like, oh, that's new. We haven't seen that interview before that was spliced in. But just great stuff. And I'm sure we'll see these video packages again a couple of times on Saturday night. But yep. I think I took the presentation this week, the fact that they were kind of in the background and the six-man was in the forefront, not so much meaning that the ladder match is a bigger deal, just that, you know, we don't need to do anything more with Johnny and Tommaso. Yeah, we're all true. Sold on that. We're good. Whereas the title match, that was just announced last week, right? That there was even going to be a new title. So we need a little bit more there.
I think you're 100% with that, Arlo. 100%.
Yeah. Anything else on these promos for you, Justin, that stood out?
I just really like this interaction between, you know, Harley mentioned the new stuff we haven't seen. Part of that was Zelina Vega and Andrade Almas in the gym. And, you know, Vega's saying, you know, we admit it, Black got into our head. You know, he tripped us up. We lost our temper. But we got under, and just as we've got ourselves under control. We took a step back and we're focused. Like, Almas just blasts in there, ranting and raving in Spanish. Like, he can't even speak English, right? He's so angry. And this wasn't like I'm going to speak English as cheap heat. This was like, I'm so angry, I forget that I know another language, anger.
Right, yep.
And it was so well executed that he just undercuts everything Vegas is trying to say. And just showing that anger is still there, that black is still under the skin. And there's so many things about this match I thought were poorly done, poorly hyped. You know, I don't think that Black's the right opponent. I think this is a non-win scenario unless Black goes to main roster on Sunday or Monday. There's so many things I didn't like about this setup. But the way Almas and Vega have handled their end of it between last week and this week has been superb.
Yeah, and it's just great writing, too, to have this scene where she sets it up and he undercuts. That's not the kind of thing that's obvious for just any writer. At worst, wrestling is very, very paint by numbers, and you can tell when they don't have that person who's inspired because they just don't have that kind of nuance. To bring that kind of nuance to a promo is not something that WrestleMania or that wrestling is famous for, but this was really well done. So
yeah, exactly. Like I really feel like they've got some real legitimate creative team talent here, and not somebody who grew up writing like WWE fan fiction
right
on the internet and got hired.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so we got five matches. They're all going to be lots of fun, I think. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to cover our other two emails first, and then we will get to the prediction part of the show. I have an email from Brian Alston. He is from Phoenix, 27-year PW Torch senior VIP subscriber. I'll tell you what, Brian, I lived in Phoenix from 2011 to 16? No, 12 to 17. And, yeah, went to the Royal Rumble there and everything, and man, I'm missing it right now because it is April and it's still snowing here. All right, hello, gentlemen. 2 weeks ago, Harley had a question regarding which 80s wrestler would work in today's NXT. I submit Terry Taylor. Unfortunately, Taylor's career peaked during the time when Giants ruled wrestling. I think Taylor is very underrated. All right, so before we go on to his second question, comment, thing, I will weigh in on that because I actually just saw... This is really weird timing on this. My brother was over last weekend. We watched some wrestling, as we always do when he's here. And he drinks his drinks, so he ends up staying over, and we watch old wrestling shows. We've pretty much watched all the old pay-per-views that we watched as kids, and so now we're watching primetime wrestling. And the one that we just pulled up out of nowhere, just because it was time, was the one where Red Rooster turns face, and it's... And Heenan is referring to him as Terry Taylor and says, no, Red Rooster is the name I gave you. You don't get to be Red Rooster. And it's, you know, it's okay. Terry Taylor is not any great shakes on the mic or anything. He's okay. He definitely was underrated in the ring. But, okay, there's something I want to hit you with. An interview that I know of with Doc Hendricks, who was kind of really one of the talent guys a bit ago, a handful of years ago. But anything you guys think about Terry Taylor and his place?
I can't say I know too much about Terry Taylor, actually. That's kind of a blind spot, that kind of era. The only thing I was going to add was, hey, we saw Terry Taylor and Michael Hayes tonight on NXT.
Oh my gosh, we did.
Yeah. That was the opening of the show, as both of those guys were arriving along with Goldust.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Harley, because I was sitting there scratching my head, and I was sitting there saying, okay, there's Michael Hayes. Who's this guy? Looks like my ex-stepfather. And there's Goldust. Who's the second guy? Yeah. Am I supposed to know this guy? Yeah. I felt stupid, so I didn't mention in my write-up.
It's Terry Taylor, who is actually a trainer at NXT right now. So yeah. that would lend credence to the idea that he would have been an NXT guy if he were younger now. That's because true. Hey, he is an NXT guy.
I was just getting situated then, and I spaced that part. I didn't write any of that down. Yeah, it's interesting that it was those guys because, what do they call it? The Legends of Wrestling or something like that. It's a round table conversation thing. They used to do. It was actually before that, but it was on WWE.com, and now they just do Table for Three. But
no, they did the Legends thing too, I think, with like JBL.
Yeah, this is actually before that too. It was called Legends of Wrestling, but it would be four guys.
Back in the days of dial-up modems.
You know, it might have been.
Did I have to call the 900 number and ask my mom first?
It's worth watching, but they talked about. I don't remember. I think there was an episode about Great Heels or something like that. And Mr. Perfect came up. And I don't know if you guys know the story, but Mr. Perfect and Terry Taylor, well, Kurt Hennig and Terry Taylor were coming up at the same time. And one of them was going to get the Mr. Perfect gimmick, and one of them was going to get the Red Rooster gimmick, because Vince was definitely a guy who's like, okay, I've got my characters in mind. Let's just see who fits them, rather than doing what seems like it would be a more organic thing. And so these guys argued the merits of what would have happened had they gone the other way, and would Hennig have overcome the Rooster gimmick? Like, would he have done something more with it? And some of the guys were arguing, well, hey, Terry Taylor would have been a perfectly good Mr. Perfect. And it was actually Hayes who said, he would have been okay, but, I mean, you're going to hit me a single or are you going to hit me a home run? That was his feeling. Like, he just didn't think that Taylor had it. And he talked about, like, there just wasn't the conviction in the character, that he just kind of, like, you could tell that he thought the whole Rooster thing was silly, I suppose. And you got to commit if it's that silly, or else, you know, you really, you call more attention to it by not giving into it, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, that's, it was interesting he asked that, and it's really interesting they arrived together today because of that story, just from that interview that I saw. And Legends of Wrestling, I think it's called. And it's a round table that doesn't happen anymore, but Mean Gene actually hosted it, and this was a while back. So.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Prichard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
So, yeah, thank you, Brian, for that part of your question. And let me pull up his other one again. What is your guaranteed spend your rent money on wrestler that will definitely be on the main roster in 2 weeks? Now, of course, as always, I preface this by saying we're always wrong. But, oh, you know what? Justin, go first.
Oh, first, I have to say that I usually am always wrong, but tonight I did call the non-finish of the opening match, so I'm feeling pretty cocky tonight. I'm going to have to call Aleister Black.
Me too. I've thought that for a little while. I thought it for the Rumble, but I think so here as well. I don't know how that title match is going to end, but I just don't think you waste any more time with a guy who's already 36, 37 years old and is super over. I think he just makes sense. Harley, what do you think?
I don't disagree with either of you, but I'll go elsewhere and I'll just say Peyton Royce.
Okay, yeah. And we know that Peyton's probably heading up soon. I don't know when that superstar shakeup's going to be. I assume they're going to do it. They haven't talked about it, but that's because before WrestleMania. You're just talking about WrestleMania. I think we're going to do another shakeup, but
last year is the second Raw after Mania, I think.
Okay.
So not this coming Monday, but the following week.
Yeah, that first one, it's just such a weird. You can't really do much.
Although you do get some debuts the night after Raw, right? Yeah, we've had, I think Enzo and Cass showed up then. Who else last year?
Paige, a couple of years ago, won the title that night.
So I would not be surprised at all if Black showed up this coming Monday.
And won the title.
And beat Miz for the IC title?
No, and beat Undertaker for the title of everything.
For the D to
John's,
the R.
And then start a feud with John Cena in the process.
Right. That could be. So Cena can have a road to WrestleMania next year, and he won't have to whine about not having a road to WrestleMania.
A year-long road to WrestleMania starring John Cena.
And Brian concludes, thanks and happy Rusev Day. Well, that was nice of him. Now we got a question from Josh Dully. Hello, NXT gang. I'm a fairly newer NXT viewer. I started watching about a year or so ago when Bobby Roode was challenging Shinsuke for the NXT title. I have since not been able to stop watching and love the NXT TakeOver events almost double as much as the main roster pay-per-views. Hey, us too, dude. A lot of that probably has to do with the age and type of fans watching NXT that brings it its awesome atmosphere. Anyway, my question has to do with NXT before I started watching. What are your top three feuds from NXT? Answers can come from the reality show NXT or the weekly show that they do now. I just want to know which stories I need to dive back in the NXT vault to watch. Thank you guys and keep up the good work. Josh Dolly. I will also say I agree with him. The age and the type of fans that watch NXT and the fact that they play in front of a somewhat predictable audience. I love the atmosphere as well. And I think that definitely adds to my interest in the show. Josh, I am going to get things rolling with the Sami Zayn and Cesaro feud. This goes back a few years ago to about 2014, maybe 13. This was a good feud. Sammy was an early one for him to show off how well he played the underdog role for somebody who was just basically a bully. Cesaro bullied him physically, and he bullied him as on the stick. Like, they were doing an interview in the back, and Sammy would try to give an answer, and Cesaro would talk over him. And this went on and on and on. Sammy definitely trying to earn respect. They kept it simple as far as the storyline was concerned, but they were both so pitch perfect in their roles that you really, really, really had to see this feud and the payoff. I would definitely watch a couple of episodes before to get the idea of what's going on. I'm terrible at remembering which takeovers were which, but I want to say they might have wrestled on the first takeover. It was definitely early, and
it wasn't even takeover. It was just NXT Arrival.
It was earlier?
Yeah, NXT Arrival.
The very first event on WWE Network.
WWE Network, yep.
So it was one of theirs, but it was before they started calling it TakeOver. Okay, so it was the first one. I'm not crazy.
Although I think they had TV matches before then, and it was like a 2 out of 3 falls match on Arrival.
Yep.
That's what it was, because the Arrival match was the culmination of the feud. It was the third in the series.
And naturally, they had a fantastic match that went long.
God, yes.
Not the only time I would mention Sammy here, but I'm going to defer and let these guys come up with what they come up with, because I definitely wanted to get Zayn and Cesaro out of there.
Oh, so we're doing one each?
Sure, you know, and if anything's left over, we can throw that at him, because there's been a lot of good stuff.
I could do a whole show on this topic.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Justin.
Well, our reader did open it up, maybe a Pandora's box here, but likely not, to the reality show era of NXT. And to give a little bit of history here, there was this period where basically they gave up on the reality show aspect of NXT. And my presumption is they were just winding down the contract to have scheduled content for the Tuesday night slot that used to be ECW. And they just had this show. I mean, NXT had gone pared down to a couple, I don't know, probably 10 people. But we had this bizarre multiple, I think it was well over a year thing between Maxine, who's now in Lucha Underground, and she's a phenomenal talent. I loved her then in NXT. Caitlin, AJ, Derek Bateman, who's now EC3, Johnny Curtis, who's now Fandango, and Johnny Curtis just played this total creep of a god. He was the most disgusting man you've ever seen. You know, one of these men who, you know, in the story, Caitlin is, you know, dating Derek Bateman, or there's a friendly flirtation, or friends with benefits. There's some sort of hot tension. I mean, it was hot tension between them. And Johnny Curtis keeps creeping on her. And I think most every person who's ever gotten through high school knows this person. And it was so relatable. And he just wanted to kick his teeth in every time he showed up on the screen. And they were, you could tell that they had just given up on trying to make any sense of anything because they didn't care about the show. But this particular feud was just so well done because I could relate so well to the Johnny Curtis character in terms of, I hate this guy. I've always hated this guy. This guy has been the one kicking the sand in my face since I was 14. And, you know, going out on a limb, I'll say that that was a great feud in my opinion.
All right. That one predates me, so I don't know it, but I'm intrigued. And I am going to go back at some point, if I ever get the time, and be an NXT completist.
And it had a lot of Matt Stryker. Had a lot of Matt Stryker because he was general manager of NXT then.
Oh, yeah, right. I knew that he was. Yeah, what a strange bunch of things he did for that company before he was gone. Just played every single role that was available. Harley, do you have a feud for us?
Oh, you know what? Honestly, the first one I think that came to mind was Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Okay.
2015. That was not only probably my favorite women's feud in... Yeah, I'll say in wrestling history. I mean, not a lot of competition in WWE, at least in terms of that. But that first time that they met when Bayley won the title, not the first time they met by any means, but the night that Bayley won the title, that was just the culmination to so much. That was an amazing match, and it led to their Iron Woman match at the next TakeOver. Just great stuff all around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I can cross one off my list. Thank you, Harley.
Yes. See all of those, Josh, and more, because there was a lot of good stuff back then. Okay, so let's go ahead and make some quick predictions and get out of here. Okay, so I'm just going to do them in the order that I wrote down the matches. The North American title ladder match. Justin, pick a winner.
You put me on the spot. Pick a winner. I can't pick a winner based on booking value because they all have a reason to win booking-wise. I'm going to pick a winner based on who I think I want to win. I'm going to shoot from my heart here, and I'm pulling for the Dream.
All right.
Not the American one, the Velveteen one.
The Velveteen. Right. Yeah, it'd be very shocking if Dusty Rhodes won this match for a myriad of reasons. Yes, go ahead, Harley.
All right. Well, first off, I will tell the listeners that I'm also reading Tom Staupp's predictions since he is sick and can't be here tonight. So I'll start off with Tom's prediction. Tom says, this is a tough call, and Adam Cole's double duty makes it tougher. Most emphasis seems to be on the quote-unquote one and only Ricochet, but I'm stubbornly sticking to my original prediction of Cole snagging the belt.
That would put him over hard as a heel.
That's what Tom says. What I say is the following scenario. Killian Dane puts himself and Lars Sullivan through a table. Ricochet takes a Velveteen Dream with a 630-degree senton off a ladder. As EC3 is climbing the ladder, he is attacked by the newest member of Undisputed Era, Chris Dijak. Adam Cole is your new North American champion.
Okay. I, too, am picking Adam Cole for the winner of this one. Again, not because nobody else has a reason, but because Adam has the best reason. His character is a Miz-style character who's going to work best if he's got that title to run away with. I think it will do wonders for his character. I also, my bold prediction I spoke about earlier, I think that this match will go on early, or... Regardless of the order of this, I think that Cole is going to be a glory hound, and he's going to do this, and it is going to affect, like, he's going to spread himself thin, say he's going to be there for the tag title match, but this is what's going to lose the match for the Undisputed Era. I think it doesn't make any sense at all for the Undisputed Era to defend their titles if Fish isn't going to be around. I think that they would have continued to hold the titles, but I don't think they will, and I think that we will get a winner of the tournament who was actually in the tournament. So I don't know if that means Cole legit turns heel on Kyle O'Reilly.
It certainly wouldn't be the first match, time.
Right. Certainly those matches would be very good because O'Reilly's just a superb talent in the ring. But I think that he's going to look out for himself, which will lend more credibility to the title reign. And then you've got no shortage of suitors for that title, including Ricochet. So as far as that three-way tag, I'll just kind of melt into that. I'm going to say Roddy and Dunn, because I'm predicting a change, but I'm also predicting that the AOP don't have anything else to do in NXT. Justin, the three-way tag.
Yeah, AOP definitely does not have anything to do in NXT at this point. They're just these big guys who show up to matches to make, you know, to be a good adversary. Dunn and Strong as tag team champions is absolutely intriguing to me. I think that if Fish was not injured, I would not even consider anyone other than Undisputed Era to win this match.
Yep.
I think whether or not Undisputed Era wins this match comes down to a medical report, which I do not have access to. If they're looking at a long-term injury for Fish, move the belts. Dunn and Strong sound interesting, and then you can take the UK Championship off Dunn at some point.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it, it takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
You guys convinced me on Adam Cole winning the ladder match.
All right.
I love
Dream as much as you do. I definitely do. So
Sullivan's my other big favorite. But as soon as probably said, yeah, Dane and Sullivan are going to put each other through a table. Yeah, they are. That's exactly what's going to happen. Right before the end of the match, Dane and Sullivan are going to put themselves through a table or a ladder, and they're going to be knocked out at ringside. So you guys told me on that. And yeah, I mean, Dunn and Strong as tag team champions would be fantastic. The in-ring, you know, and I'd like to see them feud against Fish and O'Reilly as well, because that would produce a great series of matches.
Yeah, and you could have matches with TM61. I know it's face-face, more or less, but God, that would be dynamite as well.
Yeah. And NXT does face-face matches well.
Right. Harley, the three-way tag.
Yeah, so my thinking was we open with the tag title, then we get maybe the women's, and then we do the ladder match. Because Regals does tend to be somewhat fair to both babyfaces and heels. So he'll want to give Cole a bit of a breather between his two matches if Cole does double duty like we're all expecting. So I think the tag match opens. I think it doesn't make any sense for a team not in the Dusty Classic to win the Dusty Classic. They're big on this tournament. We've seen with the video packages the past weeks with the trophy and everything. They treat it pretty respectfully with a certain amount of prestige, a lot more than the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And Authors of Pain, they're done in NXT. They've been done in NXT for a while. So I think Pete and Roddy win the titles and the tournament. I think they pin Akam or Rezar to win the titles. That way Undisputed Era can be even more upset and indignant afterwards about how, you know, Kyle O'Reilly had to defend the title when his partner was injured. Then he lost the title without even getting pinned. This is ridiculous. That's my thinking. I don't know how long Bobby Fish is out. That's the big question mark that we're wondering, right? We don't know if he's going to be back in 3 weeks or if he's going to be back in 6 months.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was also why, I mean, even before Fish's injury, I'd been thinking for a while that Chris Dijak was going to join Undisputed Era. When he showed up, he's got the ROH history just like the rest of these guys, and he's kind of a younger rookie, so he'd play a different role than the other three guys in the group. So if Fish is out for an extended period of time, maybe Dijak and Kyle can team up together for a little while.
Yeah, Chris Dijak. That name is going to take some getting used to.
I know. Not Donovan.
I'm not. Yeah, Donovan Dijak was so nice wrestler name. Yeah.
The alliteration. That's like there's something to that. That's why Stan Lee named all of his heroes that way.
Right.
Bruce Banner,
right.
Peter Parker, Reed Richards. Da da da.
And you know, I think there's something to this idea, especially with William Regal said saying, you know, you're Undisputed Era, you're smart guys, you'll figure it out. Right? Setting,
yeah,
it just sets the wheels in motion for them to say, right. Yep, here's our solution. Undisputed Era now has a fourth member. Freebird rule, have a great day. We found a friend.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they really wanted, they could pull Dijak out first and say, Cole's not even going to wrestle in this match. It's going to be Dijak and Kyle defending.
Yeah. I think if they're really smart, they'd get Lars Sullivan to be the second guy.
Anyway, and Tom's predictions for this match.
Oh, he already got. Oh, yes, right, Tom, yes.
Yes, he's not here. But Tom said, though I've been wrong every time I've bet against the authors in the past, I don't see AOP nor Dunn and Strong winning. And though I dislike the anticlimactic non-finish in the final round, I'm tickled that Undisputed Era could win a tournament they weren't even in. Either the Era loses and they're upset with Regal, or they win and Regal's upset with them. I choose the latter. Latter, not the latter.
Right. All right. Why don't you have Tom continue with the Moon and Baszler match?
All right.
Then you can take it away after him.
Sure thing. Thomas says, I'm flashing back to Philadelphia and predicting Shayna Baszler by referee stoppage again. Ember will move to the main roster as my top pick to win the Women's Battle Royal and perhaps even get a full WrestleMania entrance in the process. I'm also currently expecting Baszler on the main roster before the year is out. And what did I write in my notes? You know what? Funny thing. I agreed with Tom. I said... Well, I noted, with 12 appearances, Baszler has appeared on more episodes of NXT this year than any other wrestler. Just a fun fact. Meanwhile, Moon's NXT record stands at 19-3, one win shy of Paige's 20-3 record, which is the second best women's record in the history of NXT behind Asuka. But that's where things diverge. Moon passes out in the rear naked choke, and Baszler wins the belt via referee stoppage.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and agree that Baszler wins this. I don't know about stoppage. I think if she's going up, stoppage is better than tapping out. God, maybe you guys are right. That is a pretty good way to end this one that protects Ember a little bit before she heads up. I could see her winning that Battle Royal. I've been trying to figure out who is going to win that Women's Battle Royal, and all the possibilities seemed a little anticlimactic. It could be somebody like Becky or Naomi who always win but didn't get a major win, match here. I assume Bayley and Sasha will take each other out in one way or another, or maybe they'll be the last two. I don't know. And if they're the last two, then that'll be fine too. But yeah, I think Ember will be in that match, win or lose. I don't see her winning necessarily, but I definitely see her being there. So yeah, we'll see about that. If this wasn't the first one, maybe she would win. But I don't know. We'll see what they do there. But yeah, I think Baszler wins this as well. Justin, go ahead.
Okay, so how many Baszler Moon matches have I predicted would end in referee stoppage in favor of Shayna or Baszler now? All of them?
Both of them. All of them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's the right way to put the belt on Baszler. It just hasn't happened yet. I think TakeOver New Orleans is going to be as good a time as any to do it. Moon has to be done in NXT. It's just not working for me. I'm not saying anything bad about her. I like her a lot. There's a lot of stuff I like about her, but there's just something that just doesn't. Maybe it's just after Asuka, right? It's like I'm still not ready for Asuka's successor. I guess I don't know. Moon is too nice. But I like a lot of things that Moon said in her video tonight and a lot of the points that she does say, right, where she talks. And this thing that is totally devoid in wrestling, and it shouldn't be, and you haven't heard it since, like, you know, the era of Mean Gene, is, you know, this is how a champion should behave. They're not behaving like a champion. They're not representing the title correctly. Right? It's something you just don't hear much. You know, you don't hear babyfaces talk about how someone is taking shortcuts. They'll talk about the personal feud, but not in the general, this person takes shortcuts. So I like what's being said here. Baszler should win. Moon should drop the title. I think Baszler choking her out or breaking her arm in a, you know, some sort of referee stoppage is the right approach here.
All right. That leaves us with two matches. Justin, go ahead and continue with Aleister Black versus Andrade Cien Almas.
Like I alluded to earlier, I think that Black has done NXT. I think he's done everything he can, which would mean that he gets the traditional NXT send-off of losing a major match and ending his undefeated streak. Now it's, you know, Neville had a huge undefeated streak, lost, went to main roster. It's just how it's done in NXT. I think that Almas is a fantastic champion in direct contradiction to my expectations of his reign. I think Zelina Vega, I can't decide if, like, I can't stand her or if I want to marry her, but something's clicking there. And, you know, I'm just loving Almas as champion, and I cannot picture Black as champion. So I think that somehow Vega's going to find a way to, I don't know, throw a Tommy End shirt at Aleister Black, right, and distract him, something.
All right. Harley, take yours and Tom's.
All right. I say Black debuted 1 year ago at TakeOver Orlando with a win over Almas. Since then, he's gone 14-1, with his only loss occurring in a fatal four-way. Almas has been undefeated since Vega joined his side last July. The longer he stays champion, the better it is for his career long term. Vega distracts, Almas gets a near fall. Almas ducks Black Mass and hits the Hammerlock DDT for the win.
All right.
And Tom says, Almas will retain in a strong but not entirely clean fashion. To protect Black, there will be a spot where Black clearly has Almas beat, but there's no referee to count the fall.
Yeah, I'm with you and Tom and all of you. I think Almas retains here. I think it's time for Aleister to get headed up to go north. I don't know how much longer Almas is down there. He's definitely in this weird spot where he could be a big boon to the main roster, but I like the idea of him not being lost in the shuffle if they bring up too many guys. It's great to be able to say this about Almas, because at one point I was like, yeah, you know, get what you can out of him, send him to 205, whatever. And now it's just like, man, after that Royal Rumble performance, I just think the sky's the limit for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just love what he's done, and I love what the act is. And this is, and I think he's got the potential to be one of the NXT guys who goes to the top, at least eventually, once he heads up. He'll probably stop off at the Intercontinental / U.S. title level for a while. I'm going to say U.S. because SmackDown seems better suited for him to me, but I don't know. Then we've got the DIY match. I kind of want to say that I can see this being the last match, just given the vitriol in here and just given the enormity of this feud. I know this one became much, much more difficult to call after it became Loser Leave Town. Oh, man, I guess I got to put my money where my mouth is, because that's the way I've been doing the rotation, but... I'm going to say that Johnny wins one more, or loses one more big one here, which is too bad because he's lost a lot of big ones, but it just seems like they already had the pieces in place for Johnny to head to the main roster and for Tommaso to do what he's doing, unless this was an extremely well-crafted riff on us. Now, if they wanted to call an audible and do it the other way, I think that could work, because Ciampa, I think his act could work on the main roster right now, too. I think he's hitting it out of the park as far as what his character needs to do. Justin.
Whew. This is another one where I think it's too close to call. I can make great arguments either way. Obviously, as somebody who's really enjoying seeing Johnny Gargano on my screen, and my belief is that anyone who I like watching is always better off on NXT than on main roster. Because with the exception of like Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, they always get far less screen time than they did on NXT. And a far worse set of bookings and scripting and creative work overall. So if you like them, cross your fingers, hope they stay on NXT. I'd love to see Johnny Gargano stay on NXT. I think that if Gargano stays on NXT, his feud with Ciampa would have to be over, because this cannot be the feud that never ends. It has to end at TakeOver. And I think that if Gargano returns to NXT, I think that he's got nowhere to go. He's already lost to Almas like 3 or 4 times now. What else do you do with him? Maybe feud for the North American Championship, but there's already a million people you can see lining up for it. And Gargano staying in NXT is going to hold people down. So as much as I love you, Johnny Wrestling, if you're listening, I love you to pieces, buddy. I want to see more of you on my TV. I think that it's time for you to go to the main roster. I could see Ciampa following him saying, you know what, I banished him from NXT and now I want to follow him in the main roster and beat him up some more. Do the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens routine of fight forever and ever for the next 3 years or something that started in NXT. I could see that. Whichever way this goes, I can also see this being the last match, because this match has transcended titles. You know, this match has been the match that people have been looking forward to for 10 months now. This match is going to be the Undertaker defends the streak match of NXT.
Absolutely. All right, Harley and Tom.
Yes, I just looked up earlier in the show while we were talking. There have been 18 takeovers. 15 of them have featured the NXT Championship in the main event. There's been one time when it was the women's title, one time when it was the tag titles, and then the one War Games match. So take that for what you will. But also, I will say, we had 5 takeovers last year, and 2 of them didn't feature the NXT title on the main event. So if this does go on last, it's not not incredulous, but it would be a first time that a takeover closed with a match other than War Games that wasn't a title match.
All right.
As to my notes, I said Gargano is beloved. He's had 2 heartbreaking losses to Almas in a row. Ciampa is despised right now. 1 loss won't change that. If anything, it'll make him even more crazed, and he'll find a new victim to take it out on. Gargano's fans have suffered enough. It's time for the Sammy wins the title feel-good moment. Ciampa gives Gargano everything he's got. Gargano will not stay down. When it looks like Ciampa is going to end Gargano's career, Candice LeRae runs out. Ciampa advances on her. His wife being in danger gives Gargano the one final breath of life that he needs. Gargano destroys Ciampa for the win. In the TV aftermath, Gargano reveals that he's been offered a SmackDown contract, and he's decided to take it. He thanks the NXT fans for all their support, and he's just happy that he's leaving NXT because he wants to, not because anybody is forcing him out.
You kind of gave me chills with that match ending, so hopefully you're right.
Yeah. I totally agree with Justin, though, that this should be like Sammy and Kevin, a feud that just goes on for years. Sure. I like the idea of Ciampa staking a rant. Johnny goes up to SmackDown. I think he'd be treated okay on SmackDown because he's in the Daniel Bryan mold.
Yep.
Ciampa sticks around in NXT for a while and terrorizes some other people. And then eventually, when Ciampa does arrive on the main roster, these two pick up right where they left off. As to Mr. Stout, he says Gargano will achieve a feel-good victory via pinfall after delivering another absolute classic takeover main event. Ciampa's vitriol will allow him to easily absorb the loss and become a lethal singles competitor in NXT. I will second Harley's idea that Gargano may still move to the main roster, contented this time that it is on his own terms.
All right. Cool. So that's I was going to say Netflix. Why was I thinking Netflix? That's Takeover, not Netflix. That isn't Netflix at all, guys. Takeover and Chill on Saturday with us.
Takeover and Chill?
That's where we're headed. We were talking about the fact that I am super sleep deprived before this. The two nights before last night were bad, and last night was terrible.
If I repeat myself much tonight, too, it's the same reason.
All right. We're all getting old, guys. That's the deal. But that is our show. We are going to hit you with a post-takeover podcast. It might be a VIP only. The last one was. I'm not sure what's going to happen with this one. But at any rate, it is just going to be me and Justin doing this one. Harley's otherwise indisposed with his ROH duties. And Tom is unavailable as well. But Justin and I will do a post-takeover and probably gush over yet another great 19th in a row takeover show. So we'll see you on Saturday night late after that show. And otherwise, let's drop our Twitter handles and be out of here. I am at Spooky Milk. I do not tweet, but I will tweet back to you if you tweet to me. Justin.
I am at Justin_M_James.
And Harley.
I am on Twitter at Talking Honor. And let the viewers know it will be the three of us again next Wednesday, because 1 week from tonight, Tom will be back at Full Sail for the next set of post-takeover tapings. He gets to find out first what happens with all these new champions that we've predicted.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. So, and he won't have to take the heat when all of us turn out to be wrong about everything. He'll be out there while we have to suffer the indignities of being wrong.
Yeah, sure. The Authors of Pain and their new title reign.
I'm used to getting these things wrong. This
yeah.
It's like the time when I went to a gym and the guy started calling me a wimp or something to encourage me. I was like, you ain't saying nothing I ain't heard.
All right, all of you all, have a great WrestleMania weekend, and we will see you on Saturday and next week when we see where all this is headed. Cheers, everyone.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.